Hey, and welcome to Saturate with your host, gospel singer, and Bible teacher, Chris Norman. Saturate is a program where we study to show ourselves approved, not ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. So grab your Bible and study along with us as we dig deeper in order to expose a lot of erroneous preconceived ideas about God's word. As we prepare to study, let's pray. Father, thank you for making your word available to us, and thanks for the Holy Spirit's anointing to discern what we read today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, here's your host, Chris Norman.
Hey, good to have you on Saturate today. You know how it goes. We like to start the program off with a little bit of music. This is a song that was given to me by a friend of mine. I got to be friends with her once I met her. She was on the same record label I was on, and she had a song, and it didn't fit her quite right, but she thought it was right up my alley, and I did too, and I want you to hear it, and it's called, her name's Melinda Dixon. If you get a chance to get into her music, just do that. She's a blessing, and I hadn't seen her in a long, long time. I hope this blesses you. It's called Didn't It Rain? Good song. Thank you, Melinda. Melinda Dixon, Didn't It Rain? And listen, thinking of Noah's Ark, you know, when they got off the boat, there was that rainbow in the sky, a promise from God that he'd never destroy the earth again with water. Aren't you glad that God wants to save his people? He wants to save you today. Satan is doing his very best to convince believers. See, he can't make you not believe. You can believe. You know, Satan can't stop you from going to church. Satan can't stop you from bringing your tithe. Satan can't stop you from giving an offering. Satan can't stop you from reading your Bible. But what he can do is he can throw a whole bunch of mess in there and get you fouled up in your belief system and get you to thinking that God is something that God is not. You know, one of the Ten Commandments that God made, he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know what? You think about this now. You might have to chew on this one a little while. A lot of times, you and I, we create God to be what we want him to be. We make God out to be what we want him to be. And I promise you, we get a lot of help from Satan on doing it. And it never turns out right about God. It always turns out wrong. People have this idea that God's angry at them. God's ready to just mash them like a bug. You hear people say this a lot of times. They'll say, well, you just don't know what I've done. And it just almost gets me a little angry because I'm thinking, man, it doesn't matter what you've done. Are you trying to tell me that there is a sin greater than the powerful, precious blood of my Savior? If Jesus' blood could not have cleansed every sin, then he would not have died. He would not have done it. So please understand, he loves you. John 3:16 says he so loves you, so much so that he gave himself for you. I want to get into a little bit of things. There's a lot of scriptures here, and I'm just thinking about it. And the question comes to mind, what comes first, grace or repentance? And you think about that. What comes first, grace or repentance? If you say repentance comes first, then I want you to tell me what is the attribute, what about God had anything to do with your repentance? If repentance comes first, what is it that led you to the repentance that came first before the grace of God? Now that one's going to take some thought right there. And let me guess at some of the answers. Oh, well, I knew I was on my last straw, the straw that broke the camel's back. God's mad at me. I knew he was about to get me. You know, I've had people say, oh, I heard God say, this is your last chance, boy. You better get right now. Audible voice. It was probably their mama hiding in the closet. I've had people tell me they've had a vision of a finger of God coming out of heaven telling them that he was going to get them. Oh, my goodness, folks. The devil is so behind all this mess. Let me give you a scripture and see what you think. If you'll open your Bible to Proverbs 20, verse 2. Chapter 20, verse 2 says, a king's wrath strikes terror like the roar of a lion. Those who anger him forfeit their lives. This is the New International Version. Now, are you familiar with the scripture that says, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes about like a what? Like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, folks, I think Satan's behind a lot of this roaring lion stuff. And what he likes to do is, he likes to make you think God's mad at you. See, that king's wrath is like a roaring lion. You know, we let the Bible interpret itself. So you get over in the New Testament, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because the devil is going about like a roaring, he says, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know who he's going to devour? All the ones who believe God's mad at him. That's who he gets. You know, I'm grateful the scripture says seeking whom, because it's not meme. That's bad English, ain't it? But I'm not one of them. I'm not going to let him get me, because I already know that God so loved me that he died for me. Let's finish up the thought we had to begin with. What comes first? Okay, open your Bible to Luke chapter 5. And let me bring you up to speed where we're going to be. Starting at verse 1, it says that Jesus was near the lake of Gennesaret. There was a lot of people following him. He was teaching the word of God. He had not yet met Peter. Peter and his friends were in a couple of boats out there fishing, and they'd been fishing all night, hadn't caught anything. You know the story. So they were washing their nets. And so while they were out of the boats washing their net, Jesus jumps into Peter's boat, and he starts preaching to the crowds. And so then, when he gets through, he tells Peter, he says, hey, push out in the deep water, let down your nets, and let's get a catch of fish. And he said, oh, master, we've been out here, you know, all night long, and we hadn't caught a thing. But since you say so, I'll let down my net. He lets down the net. You know the story. They get a catch of fish that almost breaks the net and almost sinks two boats. Had to call his friends, come over here and help us get these fish. And so after all of this, and they get all the fish and they see what a blessing had come to them at just the word of Jesus. Verse 8 says, but when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, go away from me or depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Now the question is, what revealed to Peter his need for a Savior? Let's just put it that way, that he was a sinful man or he was undone or whatever the case may be. What was it that revealed it to him? Was it that Jesus jerked him up by the collar of his shirt and said, now listen to me here, you need to repent? you know, you a dirty, rotten sinner, and you need to get right. Of course he didn't say that, right? What happened was Jesus blessed the man, blessed him, not only him, but blessed him and his family and his friends. Go read Acts 16:31. It's not just for you either. It's for your friends and your family. What came first? Jesus' blessing came first in this case. Let's do another one. In Luke chapter 19, you find the story of Zacchaeus. You know this one from Sunday school. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. And you know, he ran on ahead because he heard that Jesus was coming through. He'd heard a lot of things about Jesus, but he was short and he couldn't see, so he climbed up in a tree. Just about the time Jesus passes by, Jesus looks up there and says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down quick. I'm going to your house today." And it so amazed Zacchaeus. You know, he knew he was a dirty, rotten tax collector. Nobody liked him. He knew he had gotten rich from extorting people. And immediately he said to Jesus, he said, "If I've wronged anybody," let me just paraphrase, "I'm going to make it right up to four times." And Jesus said, "Salvation has come to this man's house today." Now, what came first? Judgment? Did he heap a bunch of guilt on him and tell him, "You dirty, rotten little tax collector, I'm going to whoop you"? No, he was gracious to him. And it wasn't too long, a whole bunch of repentance started taking place. This man's ready to give back four times what he's extorted from people. Come on, folks. Here's another one. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of the woman caught in adultery. Let's make it as quick as we can. We're running out of time. All these Pharisees, all these religious people grabbed her, brought her before Jesus, threw her down the street there, and she's hanging her head down crying. They said, "You know, the law of Moses says she needs to be stoned. What do you say?" And he plainly said, "I say, any of y'all without sin, start throwing rocks." And they dropped their rocks and they left. And he says to her, "Woman, where are those that accused you?" She said, "They're not here." He said, "No one condemns you?" She said, "No." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now, folks, listen. She would have never had the power to get up from where she was and go and. Do you think she's going to run, go jump back into bed with somebody after meeting the Savior and having her sins forgiven like that? Oh, no, man. Let me tell you what. Grace comes first. Here's the scripture that you need to memorize. Romans 2:4 in King James says, "Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." It's God's goodness that leads you to repentance. It's not some preacher jumping up and down a pulpit, stomping on your favorite sin and getting you into some fleshly response. You come to an altar, start whining, bawling, squalling because you're sorry. There's a lot of sorry people that don't repent. But they'll pray weird prayers like, "Oh, Lord, give me another chance." And my question is, for what? Another chance for you to go out there in your own power and try again and fail again? Listen, folks, it's time for us to realize we're broken, we're busted, we're leaky, and it's never going to change. We need a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. If you need Jesus, why don't you call on him right now and say, "Lord, I've made a whole lot of mistakes in my life. I really like the sound of this no condemnation. I really like the sound of grace. It's helping me change my mind." That's what repentance is, folks, changing your mind. Pray this prayer: "Jesus, I need a Savior. Come into my heart and save me today. I want to live right. I want to live for you in this kingdom. It sounds so good to me. In the name of Jesus, amen." If you prayed that prayer, folks, it's as simple as this. He honors your prayer. He wants you. He's been seeking for you. You know, people say, "When I found Jesus, honey, he wasn't lost. You were lost. And you have let the shepherd rescue you, little lamb." Oh, God bless you. I didn't get the chance to play you my brand new commercial today. I made a brand new one. I know y'all got tired of that old one. But it simply asks you, go to saturatenow.com. Drop us a letter. If you want to make a donation, you can do the same there. We're so glad you come here. We love you. God loves you. Let this station know you like Saturate. Same time, same place, folks. We'll see you here again tomorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.